This is the Wintrust Business Lunch, and Craig Bolanos joins us again. Craig, thanks for giving us your thoughts today. How are you?
I am fantastic this Friday, getting buckled in for Halloween. It's getting a little spooky out there with all these global events, wouldn't you say, John?
Yeah, no kidding. It's crazy right now. And if we only kept the conversation to our shores, the inability of Congress to order its house is actually not having that much of an effect on markets or investments, is it, or the economy yet?
Well, I think at the end of the day, we saw it took 15 times to put McCarthy in. I think we're 0-3 for the latest round for Jim Jordan. How many is it going to take? I don't know. But rumor is they're committed to getting it figured out over the weekend. I think the real story, John, that you hit is this, that 10-year Treasury getting up to 5%, a yield through which we haven't seen in 16 years. And a big part of the reason we're there is everyone's coming to the grips with the reality that over the next 10 years, the spending's not likely to dissipate much coming out of Congress, hence there's going to be a lot of issuance, and investors want to get paid. That's the real reason these interest rates are driving higher. So I guess it does tie back to Congress, as you just mentioned.
Yeah, I guess it does then. And so what does that mean in the near term, in the next year or two, for either the markets or the interest rates that the Fed is moderating?
Well, I think everybody knows because people were glued. I was glued to the television yesterday, as were many on Wall Street, because I wanted to see exactly what our fearless leader, JP Jerome Powell, was going to say. And clearly he thinks that the interest rates haven't been high enough for long enough. But the reason there was some concern and dismay during that press conference is the Federal Reserve Chair, he wasn't forceful in his comments. I would argue he even hedged a little bit, and that might mean we might just have to have an additional rate hike, even though it's certainly not coming in November. I don't think it's coming in the month of December. Don't leave it off the table. Something could be askew.
What about his remarks seem to be a little hesitant to you? What are you talking about there?
I think, you know, what we have to grapple with is, I don't want to say we're in uncharted territory, but to some degree, boy, what a tall task the Federal Reserve has. I mean, this is a very tough needle to thread. And I think about the impact of these higher rates. I mean, it's clearly showing up. I mean, you saw Tesla. I mean, Elon Musk mentioned the higher rates during what was a rather negative third quarter earnings report. And I think mom, dad, sons, daughters, Americans all across the globe are recognizing that auto loans are 8.5% to 9%. People are realizing that 30-year mortgages just touched 8%, and don't even look at the scary APR on that credit card. It's brutal. So will we continue to have this economic slowdown, or will it turn into a hard landing? Time's going to reveal what's ahead in the crystal ball.
But the economy is doing well, isn't it?
Oh, I think the economy is doing well. In fact, John, it's Friday, so can we agree to make it Happy Friday?
Okay.
Let's make it Happy Friday. I'm going to give you what makes me happy right now.
Okay. Yes.
Jobless.
Craig, what makes you happy? Go ahead, sir. Yes.
Thank you, John. The 4-week running average of jobless claims, it looks good. Not that many people are losing their job. That means a soft landing. The non-farm payrolls, that's the number of new jobs, it looks good. That's a soft landing. Retail sales, $73.9 billion. Yeah, that's a good number. It's a soft landing. In fact, even the services sector, our economy in the United States is not much manufacturing. Our economy in the U.S. is services. Soft landing. The only thing flashing caution right now is manufacturing. That's a hard landing. But when I look at the construct of this economic data, we haven't gone off a cliff. I think a soft landing is more probable. A hard landing is possible. And that's a decent setup going into the end of the year in 2024, as long as the geopolitical stuff stays contained.
What's the story on Tesla? You think it would be good if you sold more units? You drop the price a little bit. That makes it more attractive to more consumers. Sales are up, but the stock valuation is down. What's going on there, Craig?
Well, you know, it's kind of been a 1-2 punch as of late. I mean, Tesla's challenge now is as it continues to grow, it's competing directly with companies that I consider to be experience markers. I mean, think about Ford and think about how they have spent so consciously on promoting the F-150 Lightning in advance of the Tesla Cybertruck coming out. And as you said, John, those Q3 earnings that just were released this week, you know, Tesla missed on the top, they missed on the bottom. That's not necessarily a good recipe. And I kind of think Tesla lowering the price of their cars is almost a de facto marketing campaign, because that's how they're going to have to compete to drive volume and sell more units. But with China limiting graphite today, that's another problem for Tesla and every EV maker, because again, it comes down to raw materials for these batteries.
Talk to me about Netflix right now. What are you seeing and hearing about them?
Well, I tell you what, they just had a great pop. I mean, talk about pops and drops. I mean, Netflix, I mean, boy, stock is looking good. And John, I mean, I might watch Amazon Prime for Thursday Night Football, but if you're asking me what's in the Bolanos household, we're streaming on Netflix all of the time. Now, certainly Netflix stock has a long way to make its way back to its all-time high. I remember when Netflix was trading with a six handle, that's 660. Now it's only 405. But certainly the trend, that's the charts, is back in Netflix's favor.
Will you just talk a little bit more about interest rates for a second? So the mortgage rate is above 8% for a 30-year fix, and that's with good credit. What do you see on the horizon for home sales?
You know, at some point, now home sales are obviously so specific to the geography. Let's just put that on the table. I mean, certain counties in, you know, Southwest Florida remain incredibly hot, but we are starting to see some action. When I talk to realtors, when I look at the data from NAREIT, the National Association of Realtors, not everybody's getting an eight-way blind bid on a Saturday. That's not happening anymore. And at some point in time, I just think the American consumer is changing their lens. John, I mean, for so long, home ownership was the American dream. Home ownership was just something people wanted to spend money on. And I think there's been a change, a wholesale sea change, where people are focusing more on experiences than they are focusing on stuff. That's a generational attitude. And it's going to start showing up in home prices. I think there's going to be some slippage in the months to come.
You don't think that home is a good investment? I mean, you know, have money in stocks or bonds or whatever you're doing with your 401k, whatever. But it's not only been a place to live and put your stuff in, but it's been an investment vehicle.
Well, I think the benefit for so many of home ownership is forced savings. There is something to be said about forced savings. And let's not abandon how much wealth has gotten created in the real estate market, especially residential real estate for those that have been in good communities. But we have to acknowledge the fact that these higher interest rates are definitely going to be shrinking the pool of buyers, because, John, something you and I talked about a couple of months ago, I bring you back to it. I mean, how many people in that three-bedroom home who know they need to get to a fourth bedroom because the number of kids, how many of those families are going to be willing to trade a 2 or a 3% mortgage for one that starts with an 8? I think very few are going to do that. That's why you and I should be investing in bunk beds instead. I think we're going back to bunk beds and rooms. Those starter homes aren't going to be turning over the way they used to.
But if I do buy a home, or if I do own a home, don't you still see the horizon for that as an appreciating asset?
Oh, I do continue to believe that real estate shouldn't be abandoned. I don't want to dissuade anybody from owning a home, because I think real estate prices will always generally trend higher over the longer term, just as we have these inflationary pressures and we keep having more people and there's naturally less real estate. But in the short term, this exogenous shock of this huge elevation in rates that we've seen this year, I think it's going to start showing up in the suburban housing market all across the United States. I think the peak in prices has happened, generally speaking. It's just how far down the slope do we go from here on out.
Craig Bolanos is the founder and CEO of Wealth Management Group. Invest with WMG.com. Craig, we'll call you again. Thanks for your help today.
Make it a great weekend. Thanks, John.